Growing up, I loved playing computer games, but I have not found something in adulthood that scratches that same itch. Video games don't do it. I can't use that controller. It's just not it for me. But oh my goodness, I am so glad I recently started playing June's Journey. Okay, June's Journey is like I Spy meets Carmen Sandiego, meets The Sims, meets horror movies. It's so wild and it's so, so fun to play. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. Each new scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. June is fabulous. She has a fabulous little hat and feather in her cap. She's at this family estate on this gorgeous island that you can decorate, which you know that I love to do. And then as you're going, you go into different rooms of the house. You find clues that are going to lead to the suspicious murder of June's sister and brother-in-law. It's so dark. Like, you're looking for clues inside of a murder scene photo. But also, all I want to do is find the trophy and the riding crop and the muddy footprint that might be a clue about, wait, was there another person there? It's so intriguing. It's so fun. I love playing it. At the end of the day, just sitting on the couch, you know, that state of mind where you're not ready to go to bed yet. You don't want to be watching TV anymore. It's sort of just background noise. I want to be looking around my little island for clues. And that's why I love having June's Journey. Right now, I'm in the chapter where we are really uncovering some salacious information. There seems to have been a third person there the night of the murder. And that is not what we believed at the beginning. So, you know, I'm ready to figure out more about this mystery third person because I think it might be the key to everything. And so you better believe I'm about to dive back in, and you can do just the same. Escape reality and immerse yourself in the world of June Parker. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode was recorded live at Just for Laughs Festival in Toronto. Our guest for this episode was Lisa Gilroy, who you can and should follow on social media at The Lisa Gilroy. We hope and plan to do more live shows in the future, so please stay tuned. Thank you so much to everyone who came out to see the show, and thank you again to Just for Laughs Toronto for having us. And without further ado, here is the episode. This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy, and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
For those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily, and I am too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Henley, and I'm also too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Sammy, and I love watching scary movies, and so I watch them so that you don't have to. And holy shit, everybody! This is our very first live show.
We're like in shock.
So this is the most scared I have ever been for this podcast.
The Henley playing field has been leveled.
That's right. Henley and I have stage fright.
We took a lot of beta blockers before
this.
So
they should be okay. So we should be good.
Our heart rate is like normal, kind of.
Yeah, that's right.
Only because of the pills, though. That's the only reason.
Wow. We are so excited to be here. If for people who don't know what our podcast is, we are a scary movie recap podcast. We're going to tell you what happens in a scary movie. If you've seen it, great. If you haven't, that's also great. Who here is too scared to watch scary movies? Anybody? Welcome, welcome. People who like scary movies? Either more or just a louder presence. We've got a little bit of both. And I did watch the scary movie this week, so did Sammy. This is one of the rare times that a team scared got a little bit brave. And Sammy, what is that movie this week?
This week's movie is Final Destination 2. Came out in 2003, directed by David R. Ellis, written by J. Mackey Gruber, Eric Bress, Jeffrey Reddick, starring A.J. Cook, Ali Larder, Michael Landes, David Petkow, James Kirk, Linda Boyd, Keegan-Connor Tracy, Jonathan Cherry.
Oh my gosh.
Terrence Carson. Justina Machado and Tony Todd. There's a lot of people in this movie.
A lot of people in this movie. That was great. You did great.
Thank you so much.
We also... It was really good. It was really good. Guys, we are... This is new for us. We would normally do a check-in about if anything scary happened to us, but it is happening,
it's happening right now. This is it.
You're
right
here
now.
For it. You're experiencing it. We're all in it together. And someone else who's in it together with us is we are very excited, very lucky to be joined by a guest this week. She is an actor and comedian and a Canadian. Please welcome Lisa Gilroy.
Everybody.
Hi, Lisa. Welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you. Wow. I feel like I'm on the red table with the girls talking about it.
Yeah, welcome to The View. Lisa, hello. How do you feel about scary movies, Lisa?
Oh, I hate them. Too spooky for me.
Yeah.
me too.
Did you have like a moment where you watched a traumatizing horror movie and it ruined the rest of your life and you're like, I'll never go back?
Listen, Henley, I never even got in the door. I never even sat upon the couch and had the remote in my hand. I didn't make that. But like, even going to like Blockbuster as a child was like too much to handle. Like, do you guys remember the cover of, I think it was Silence of the Lambs? It was like an eye with like a bee on it. Or was that Candyman? Something.
What's that's the Candyman. The Silence of the Lambs is the mouth and a butterfly. Okay,
Wow. Mouth, butterfly, eye, bee. Devastating combos for both. Like, I don't want bugs on any part of my face. And even seeing those was, that was catastrophic for me.
It's honestly, they should put horror movies behind a curtain, not porn. Who cares? Everybody has a body. Like, I'm sorry, but seeing, like, the saw cover, just a single foot? Like, excuse me. Put that behind a curtain. I don't want to see that at all.
No. And, like, one of the scariest movies I saw early on was, a Pee-wee Herman's Big Adventure?
Oh!
I just heard you say Pee-wee Herman.
Pee-wee.
Because of Large Marge?
That's exactly right, Sam.
Large Marge?
She says,
scary.
Tell him Large Marge sent it. And then at one point, she's like, oh! And her eyes like pop out of her head. You guys remember?
Yes, I very much do.
Everyone else is like, yeah, we enjoyed that part of our childhood.
Yeah, the fun part. The fun part.
Like, that was fine.
Did you ever like go to a sleepover where they play a scary movie and you had to bow out?
Yeah, every day of my life. And
every day of your life.
Also, I was like just so, it's just devastating. This is like a social problem as well, you know, because you're scared and trying to act like you're not scared. So I'd always be like, oh, you guys, my leukemia is acting up. I gotta go. Like, just any excuse. And my friends also really like to play that nightmare game. Remember, it was like it was called Nightmare Something Something. People are nodding. There's like a DVD, and there was like what was he called? Like, the Grave Keeper or something. And he would be like,
the Grave Keeper?
Yes, so it was like a board game, but it came with a DVD, and you put it in, and then the man would appear, and he would be like, listen up, maggots. And he had a cloak. And then he would, like, tell you to do things, and I was so afraid of that.
I've never heard of this. I've never heard of this.
Is this a Canadian thing?
No?
Okay, so you put in a DVD where a man screams at you and tells you to do something?
That's enough, maggot.
Yes, and he called you maggots, yeah.
And you're, like, 8 years old, and you're like, I didn't have this.
Yeah, my friends were like, I love this, and I was like, that man is real, and he's coming for us.
You're the smart one in the group.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so not for you at all.
Not for me at all, no.
So that's why we sort of let you be the listener. You're going to get to hear... How familiar are you with the Final Destination franchise?
I saw a trailer for it once where a log came off a trunk the truck and like smash a girl's head off, out.
It's like the most iconic.
That's Final Destination 2, baby. We're gonna get there.
I feel like it's, I feel like it saved lives though, because that happens on the highway. Do you know what I mean?
Lives. What would because you do?
There's so, many distance. There's so many people who have that image in their head. Yes, they're driving down the highway. They see a truck. They
change
say, nope.
Lanes.
Change lanes.
That's get right. Okay, I got news for you too. And those logs, they go everywhere. You can't avoid it. Not in this scenario.
Damn it. Right.
Oh my God. On that note, I guess we should start talking about Final Destination 2.
Yeah. Let's do it.
People here, have you seen Final Destination 2? Has anyone seen it recently? Okay. Well, let's talk about it, Sammy. What we got?
Okay, we got a 48% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
This one's decent.
38 Metacritic, 6.2 IMDb. Budget $26 million. It made $90 million, which is the lowest grossing of all the Final Destination films.
For the sequel, that's
still pretty
interesting.
Good. Still pretty good.
It's still pretty good.
Wait, what are we talking about today? The second one in the franchise?
Second one.
Is that the one with the big log?
That's a big log one. Yeah.
Okay. Ooh, buckle up.
Yeah.
It's a big log.
And Devon Sawa was supposed to be in this movie.
The star of the first one, if anyone's unfamiliar.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess contract negotiations.
He's not even in this?
He's not in this.
I don't think we should do
shocked
it.
Shocked and
wow.
sad.
Yeah, bye.
Absolutely devastated.
No, because I love Devon Sawa. Remember, he was in Casper?
Yeah,
also
yeah.
Too Scary.
We remember it. If you can recall. Famously
the original
in Casper. yeah, don't worry. They explain it in a way that is completely unsatisfying. But he did not. It's okay. So Final Destination 1, if anybody doesn't know, should we just give a little backstory? It's honestly basically exactly the same as Final Destination 2. There's some kids get off a plane before it crashes, and then death comes for them because they were supposed to die.
Wait, how'd they get off before it crashed?
He has like a vision.
Devon Sawa has a
premonition.
Oh, like they didn't get on.
No, they were on and they got off.
Wait, so the plane, like...
We can't. Okay. I've made a huge mistake.
Okay.
That's a different movie. But just saying, like, the villain is death, okay? We get that.
The villain is death. Got it,
The villain is death, and it's after them, but Devon Sawa survived in Final Destination 1.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just gonna have to find out what happens in Final Destination 2. And
but he's not even in it.
He's not in it.
And it's really, yeah, it's very unsatisfying the way they address it. We'll get to it.
Okay. You're just teasing, okay. teasing. The whole movie is about what happened to Devon Sawa. Shall we get into it, Sammy?
Let's do it.
Oh my God. You ready?
I'm ready.
We can do it.
I'm devastated to be informed that I thought the first movie would be like the story of the truck driver like getting ready to go.
I have tried a lot of meal kits in my day because I don't like to cook. I need as much help as I can get when it comes to meal times. But a lot of the kits I've tried, you know, they leave a little something to be desired. They're not super great quality, or maybe there's not great variety, or they feel just kind of unhealthy. So imagine my surprise when I found Marley Spoon and discovered it doesn't have to be that way. You can have it all. I'm so happy this podcast is sponsored by Marley Spoon. They created the best tasting meal kit money can buy, and with my code TOOSCARY, you can get up to 25 free meals. They have over 100 meals to choose from each week, so you will not be getting bored. Last night, I made a shrimp burrito bowl that was so good, and tonight I'm making a Shion-style cumin turkey burger with pickled veggies and five spice fries. Excuse me, am I a five-star chef? You have any idea how boring all the stuff I usually make is? It's such a treat. And usually for something like this, I would pay probably $40 to have something delivered to me, and it would probably be gross and soggy by the time it got here anyways. So thank God for Marley Spoon. And you can customize many of the recipes, so whether you're looking for vegetarian, family-friendly, low-carb, they got you covered. They also have an online market of pantry essentials like snacks and ready-to-eat options. I'm telling you, you can have it all. I got a kit to make cookies in my first box. So experience the most personalized meal kit today with Marley Spoon. Head to marleyspoon.com/offer/too-scary and use code TOOSCARY for up to 25 free meals. That's right, up to 25 free meals with Marley Spoon. One last time, that's marleyspoon.com, /offer/too scary for up to 25 free meals. And make sure you use my promo code too scary so they know I sent you.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's 90 minutes of a truck driver's routine.
Okay, we start in a bedroom, which is our main character, Kimberly's bedroom. And this bedroom is completely
horrifying.
Mismatched with everything we know about Kimberly and the rest of the movie. I feel like there's a tarantula crawling around in this
what?
Room.
What? Yeah. Like out of a cage? Just out?
Yeah, just crawling around.
Yes. It's never addressed. Never addressed again.
Porcelain clowns. Baby dolls.
There's like hanging clowns.
Yeah.
This is in a hot girl's bedroom.
This is in a hot girl's bedroom, yeah.
It's just
not her vibe for the whole rest of the movie, so I was a little thrown by it.
Yeah.
But we're hearing kind of a conspiracy theorist sounding guy.
Yeah, she's got her TV on, and she's got a news interview going.
And he's talking about the events of Final Destination 1, Flight 180 crashed, and then the survivors were killed in very strange ways, and he's theorizing that death is following them, tracking them down, and killing them.
Yes, that is part of Death's master plan, and the interviewer asks, so you're telling me that Death is after us? And the guy says, absolutely. Death is all around you, everywhere, all the time.
And just to be clear, this is a news anchor?
This is on the news.
CNN.
This is like, it honestly reads like it's like 60 Minutes.
This just in this evening, three people being actively pursued by the gremlin of death.
That's the energy. We're taking it very seriously.
Then we go to the next morning, and Kimberly and her friend are packing for a trip. And her dad seems concerned and is saying, do you have everything you need? Your sunblock, your toothpaste.
Your porcelain doll, your spiders, your cobwebs.
And her friend walks up and says, condoms, whips, chains. Yeah, we've got everything. Hilarious. And that's like her vibe in front of the dad. She's like, stop it. Your dad's cool. It's fine. And then she says, when they get in the car, get ready to go, she's like, come on, I'm horny.
Come on, Kimberly, I'm getting
Let's get
horny.
The guys. I'm getting horny.
Also, I'm just going to come ahead of it. People aren't gonna like this take, but I think the relationship with Kimberly and her dad, I think it's weird.
Yeah.
They sit at one time, he has his arm over her. I don't like it. I think her dad is weird. Okay, they're going to Daytona. Really fun. Two girls, two guys, big trip, guys in the back smoking weed, just talking about the fun they're gonna have in Daytona.
Guys in the back, the girls are driving?
Cool.
Kimberly can drive.
Okay, this would be a cool feminist moment, but I know the log is out there.
Yeah, so they're on the on-ramp to get onto the highway at a stoplight, mm-hmm. And as they are stopped there, a woman, looks like a homeless woman, comes up to their window, slams on it, and startles them all, and they are incredibly rude in the car. They're like making jokes about her, but it's just, I'm saying that because it's a moment, okay, I didn't write the movie. And as they're stopped there, a school bus passes with like a football team on it, and they're all chanting, pile up, pile up.
We're
pile
getting
up,
horny.
Pile up.
We're getting horny.
That's honestly what a football team is. That's actually the chant all the time.
Yeah.
And
on the radio, it says, she turns on the radio, and it's the news saying that today is the 1 year anniversary of the crash of Flight 180.
Wow. Okay.
She's getting spooked.
I mean, I have
seen all these.
Because her friends died in the crash, or she didn't.
She's just aware of it. She was the one watching that 60 Minutes about it.
Oh, okay.
So she's like very. We get the sense that she's like aware. It must have been a town nearby that all these students died from it. It's like
they seem familiar.
It was a big deal.
Got it.
In sort of the world.
And as she pulls on to the freeway, we're getting glimpses of various other people in their cars. A mother and son.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Henley.
There's a guy doing coke.
Yeah, it's absolute chaos on this road. These really are the worst crazy drivers you've ever seen.
At one point, a woman on the back of a motorcycle just flashes her tits.
Which I'm now realizing that woman isn't a part of the story at all.
It's just for that moment. It's just for
Who's she flashing them to? The bus of
the teenage boys. Wait, I think they're like in college maybe. They must be because there's some stuff that happens later. Anyway, she just like a woman on a motorcycle. Yeah, flashes them. We see a dude doing coke as he drives. A truck driver's drinking a beer.
What town is this? Party town, USA?
Yeah, I truly... A cop is driving and he spills coffee on his lap. So he's like, oh, shoot. And he's like, you know, brushing up. Mm.
This whole room knows something I don't know. Everyone keeps going, mm.
Well, some people have seen it.
Storms of brewing.
We do get like a little kid. He also doesn't factor in later at all, but he makes direct eye contact with Kimberly as she drives.
Don't do that, Emily.
And she has to look right at you. No, look at me. Look at me. And he takes two trucks and he just starts banging them together. It's so...
A lot of spooky signs happening.
It's just like, this is a bad road. Oh get God, off that this road.
I have got off the road. Goosebumps. Emily, check. Goosebumps, check.
You got him, she got him.
I'm scared. The puppeteer is here.
He's everywhere all the time.
Okay.
There's also a pregnant lady. And... And a guy in a muscle car.
And a guy in a muscle car who's just, I don't know,
actually doing really well.
Yeah, he's actually he's fine. And we like his vibe.
Yeah. And of course, there is a truck carrying a bunch of logs.
A bunch.
I'm glad this is first. I'm glad we're just getting this out of the
way. Oh, yeah. The truck with a bunch of logs. And we watch sort of in slow motion, I think, as the chain holding those logs in place snaps.
Oh, no.
And a big old log comes rolling off that truck. And then... Oh, my God.
It's as the cop has spilled the coffee in his lap. He's looking down, and he looks up to see a log coming straight at his face. Absolutely blasts through him. Blood splattering.
And that is the right way to say it. It truly blasts right through him. Log from front of the windshield, out the back. We see guts, insides coming outside.
Yeah. And the log, to be clear, the log is like long ways, right?
No, 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 yeah, long ways. Like the, you know, flat end.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah,
Because Emily, sorry, no offense, but you said it rolled off the truck, and so that kind of made me think
it did. So it rolled off, bounced, and then shot at the cop.
Okay.
And a little trivia that we looked up is they had to do these logs CGI because real logs weren't bouncy enough. So in case you're ever worried on the road, they wouldn't bounce this much.
Yeah. Absolute mayhem ensues. There's a motorcyclist who flies off his motorcycle and then is crushed by his motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
Cars are exploding.
I think that motorcycle then like flies through and cuts somebody in half.
It's him. It's the motorcyclist.
It's him.
Killed by his own motorcycle.
Like boomerangs back
split
to him.
By his own motorcycle.
Yep.
A lot of cars explode. Big explosions. I mean, the mother and son, are trying to brake to avoid hitting a truck, but her water bottle, would you believe it, flies under her brake. Does anyone remember, like, I think about this all the time when I'm driving, like, there better not be anything under your brake. And I realized in watching this that this is fucking why. It's this movie that I had never seen, but it somehow entered my consciousness of, like, you better not have anything near your, which also is correct. You shouldn't have anything near your brake, but water bottle gets under her brake, she can't stop, smashes, explodes.
I just realized that sometimes I take my shoes off when I'm driving. And
don't put
I
them there.
I just realized that maybe that's a huge hazard.
You can take I actually don't think you're supposed to take them off. But
it's illegal. Yeah, it's. I think for some reason,
I think it's illegal.
I do know that, and I guess
stop
I just
it.
Admitted to a crime.
Oh my God! Try and stop her. Just make sure when you do that, you just sort of toss them over the passenger seat, like I do.
Use my other foot to like block them.
No, don't. No.
Okay, I'll stop describing what I did.
The point is, it could move.
I'll never do it again.
Yeah,
okay?
She's promises here
will.
Today. She'll never do it again.
I think you're lying to me. It's just massive. It's a really bad crash. Everybody dies. All the cars explode. Kimberly and her car friends, they get hit. They start rolling, end up on their, like, basically upside down. And we see that Kimberly has survived, but, you know, covered in blood, looking upside down. She sees, this part is yucky. She sees the guy in the muscle car. He had his car had burned on fire, exploded, but he survived. And so he gets out of his car and he's like, "Help me!" He's like all burned up,
covered in fire.
Covered in fire. Head to toe. Head to toe in fire. She sees that. She sees a truck smash into him and kill him.
No.
And then she sees a truck moving, sliding towards her. She screams, crashes into her, presumably dead, all dead.
Huh.
Comes dead? To. It was all
a dream.
A premonition.
No!
It's a Devin Sawa moment.
It was all a dream
again.
And the movie's yes. over.
Wait, was it a dream or was it a premonition?
She comes back to like on the on ramp and looks terrified.
She's
like
she's horny.
Just, still so horny. So she starts panicking.
It's a smash cut back and she's back in the driver's seat on the on ramp and then the homeless woman smashes against the window. And so it's like, wait.
She's like, I've seen this before.
I've seen this before.
All the yeah. same things start
so
happening.
So she gets freaked out. She starts flipping on the radio. Wow. Wow.
No.
No, she's about to cheat death, you guys.
She might be. And we know that that is not a good thing to do. Yeah, so all the things start happening. So she totally freaks out. Her friends are like, what's going on?
She turns her car sideways, blocking everyone on the on-ramp so nobody can get on. And we see all the passengers are the people that we recognize from. Mm-hmm.
And they're all the screaming at her because they don't even know she's a hero.
Yeah, exactly. They're all like, let us on. What's going on? They got places to be. The cop who's there on the on-ramp, he gets out of his car. He comes to her window and pulls her out of the car and says, you know, miss, what's going on? She's totally freaking out. So her friends are still in the car. She's outside of the car talking to the cop. And she's like, there's about to be a big accident. Like, I saw it. We all die. Oh, and as she is telling him this,
what?
The log truck passes on the highway.
No, goosebumps. Check.
They're there. And the crash starts to happen.
No.
The log comes off sideways, but then straight. And a bunch of cars start crashing. They all see it happen. The cop goes on his radio. He calls for backup. Like, the whole big crash is happening. And at the very last moment, this crash is going on, and a truck starts sliding towards her car. Mm-hmm. The cop grabs her, pulls her out of the way. It smashes into her car. All her friends die right before her eyes.
All her friends are dead?
Sorry,
I started laughing.
It's truly insane. Of the whole thing that she, like, prevented all these people from dying except all her friends. So that's pretty, it's been pretty bad for her.
Then they go back to the police station, and I think everyone at this point kind of thinks still thinks she's crazy.
Yeah, so it's all
the
people who are on.
She said came true.
All the people on the on ramp, they're all back at the police station talking about it, and the motorcycle guy, who his name is Eugene, he is telling them like, oh, you didn't hear about what happened last year on Flight 180? All those kids died, and then death started coming for them, and they all died one by one in freak accidents. And he's like really laughing, and I'm thinking, okay, believe what you want, but this woman just watched her friends die. Yeah. It just feels like we all sort of forgot that a super dramatic thing just happened. But
and remind me again, Eugene, the motorcyclist, is the one who flashed the bus?
No, that person never comes back.
That was a woman.
It wasn't.
He was the one that got cut in half by his motorcycle.
Oh, okay. So there was two people on motorcycles.
I guess.
Yeah, very confusing. I shouldn't have mentioned it.
That's on us.
Live and learn. So, yeah, none of them really believe it. Kimberly obviously does. She's like, this thing happened a year ago. I had this crazy premonition. The cop also seems to sort of believe her.
Does it feel romantic between them, or just
it feels like it could be?
Okay, it could be.
Which is why I mentioned I hope she's not in high school.
She knew.
He's like, so did your boyfriend die in that crash?
Really sorry about your boyfriend. So yeah, they leave the station. Her dad comes and, you know, picks her up from the station. Again, I'm like, I don't like your vibe. And that night at dinner, she's obviously very distraught, and she asks her dad, we're getting the impression that her mom is no longer with them, it's just the dad and Kimberly, and she says, can I ask you something? Did mom ever have any weird feelings about anything? Like, what?
I forgot about that. And that's what he says. He goes, what?
About what?
Like, what do you mean, distraught?
Did mom ever have any weird feelings about anything? But she asks if she ever have premonitions.
Yes.
And he doesn't answer. He just goes, are you okay? And the answer is no. She watched all of her friends die. And she just says, I have a really bad feeling that this isn't over yet.
Ooh, I'm scared for her.
She's right. She knows.
And then we go to Muscle Car Guy's house.
Muscle Car Guy.
He arrives home carrying a...
We forgot to mention he just won the lottery.
Oh, yes. Oh, right. Of course. He's the luckiest man.
He's so lucky.
He just won the lottery and escaped death. He's the luckiest guy on Earth. He comes home carrying like a bunch of boxes. His hallway might as well be littered with banana peels and marbles. Like there's so many hazards. And he gets in his house and he has posters of cars on the walls.
She's a dude who loves cars.
Oh man.
And he starts cooking dinner. Like an absolute maniac.
This man is disgusting. He has on his table a full frying pan full of spaghetti getting cold, and he tosses it out the window and puts that same dirty pan on the stove and immediately puts food in it. And it's like, no, okay, you're dying one way or the other.
First of all, he blasts those flames up to the highest they can be, and then dumps like canola oil like everywhere. It's so wild.
So yeah, fire is like going way too high. He takes, as he's like getting his stuff ready to cook the grossest meal ever. Like
it's like chicken nuggets and like
I think it's like hot dogs in a pan and then Chinese food. He gets his Chinese food out, his little container, and as he's mixing things up, a letter magnet falls off his fridge into the Chinese food container. And when it falls off, the letters that remain on the fridge spell I.
E-Y-E.
No. Wait, what did it spell before? Eyes?
It said, hey.
That sounds right. What else could it be?
It's like, no, just the one.
No, he is the luckiest man.
Just
Death was coming for both eyes and then was like, nah, cutie, I'll just take one.
We just need the one.
Okay, but what was it spelling before? What letter fell into the spaghetti?
It was hey, E. His name is Evan.
Okay, that makes sense.
Oh, hey, got it.
I wasn't even thinking about that. I was like, I get it.
Okay.
All right, sure.
So
sure.
We're seeing that. But he puts the food container in the microwave, but now there's metal in it because of the magnet. So that starts to spark and that starts exploding. He seems unfazed.
He's unfazed. He's listening to voicemails from women that are like, hey, Evan, heard you just won the lottery.
Again, this is a feminist film.
And he's like trying on his new Rolex. And he's bought a new ring, and as he puts on the ring, he drops it in that garbage disposal and reaches in to get it. And
meanwhile, sparks are flying from the nearby outlet.
And now he can't get his hand out of the sink because his Rolex is too big.
Okay, on a side note, this feels like something that happens to like a bad chef in a Disney movie or something. Like if this was a Disney movie, this would be like hijinks that were happening to like a dumb adult, and we'd be like, ha ha. But this is like actually quite scary now.
It's very scary. I don't like when a garbage disposal comes into play. Death is playing tricks on us.
He's having some fun. They're
Death is having a great time.
And Death is what? Coming for us all.
Everywhere, all the time. Has a plan. You can't escape it. And so he's really trying to like pull his hand out of the garbage disposal. But meanwhile, a full fire has broken out because he somebody poured oil on the stove. And he
it's
goes,
way too much canola oil.
And well, then he takes a dish towel to try to put it out. It catches on fire, and then he tosses it. And so then he tosses it onto a pile of boxes. And then that catches on fire, but he can't put the fire out because his hand is stuck in the garbage disposal.
So stressful.
Is it on?
The microwave is like popping, the glass is shattering because bad things are happening in there.
But he does get his hand out intact.
But now the apartment is completely on fire and he has to escape.
And the voicemails from the girls, are they still going?
He's still listening. He's like writing down their number.
But now they're like, Evan, I'm pregnant.
They're getting more stressed before
everything's going wrong.
He goes out onto the fire escape and just in the nick of time, his apartment basically explodes.
Yeah.
All the windows shatter, and he's climbing down the fire escape, and the ladder on the second floor is supposed to drop down for him to be able to climb to the actual ground. It's not going, so he's like jumping on it like this, like, and we're just so on edge. All these things should have killed him already. We're like, what's it gonna be? And he eventually, the ladder goes all the way down with such force that it flings him backwards. He falls onto his back, onto all now the broken glass from the apartment windows, and the ladder falls towards his eye, stops just short of it. He breathes a big sigh of relief, and then it falls the rest of the way.
Oh.
A my God, Lisa.
Muscle car guy. He's done.
He is.
We liked him the most, too. Remember in the beginning, we thought his vibe was good. Remember?
No, I lied about that. We don't like him.
Okay.
No, we don't like him. So then the nightly news comes on. We all watch the news in this movie.
Wait, is he okay?
No, he's dead. No, he's dead. No, he's absolutely dead. He's dead.
Okay, I thought maybe it was just his eye.
No. It went through his eye, through his brain, like, to the ground. Dead.
Okay, then it should have said brain on the fridge.
It should have said brain.
Why/eye?
It's a good point.
It should have said brain.
Yeah.
So we're all watching the nightly news that night. We see everybody from that on-ramp watching the news in some capacity and seeing that there was a freak accident tonight that killed a man who had just won the lottery. And so now they're starting to believe.
And he died the next day.
This is the movie that inspired the song about that. This movie, oh my God, she was so inspired.
10,000 logs flying off the back of a truck.
All right, you guys, I'm here again to talk to you about Skims, except this time not about their underwear, this time about their t-shirts. Have you guys tried their t-shirts? Because I hadn't until recently, and holy shit, I have been on the quest to find the perfect t-shirt for my entire adult life. And little did I know, they were just hiding at skims.com. So I have their cotton jersey long sleeve t-shirt in kind of this like deep blue, gorgeous color. And it's a very form-fitting t-shirt that's extremely flattering. I've worn it over and over and over again since I got it. And it really holds up in the wash. You can just throw it in the washing machine, holds up, keeps its shape. The quality of the fabric is so good. I also have the boyfriend t-shirt. That one's so cozy, more relaxed. I just am obsessed with them. And now I want all of them. So I will slowly be amassing my collection of Skims t-shirts for the rest of my goddamn life. Anyway, so I really can't recommend them enough. Go to skims.com to shop them, and they're available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. Plus, you get free shipping on orders over $75. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that Too Scary Didn't Watch sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select Too Scary Didn't Watch in the drop-down menu that follows.
My mom has had a pretty wild life, a lot of interesting stuff. She was in a couple popular bands in South Africa in the 80s. She's traveled all around the world, and she is so full of stories that I'm still finding out new things about her. So this Mother's Day, I know just what to get her. It's called Storyworth, and Storyworth helps you preserve those memories and stories from your mom or mother figure for years to come. Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a question. You can help choose the questions if you'd like. Some that I've asked my mom are, what was your first boss like? What were your favorite toys as a child? And all they need to do is respond to the email with a story. It can be long or short. They can even include pictures if they want. Sky's the limit. So you can enjoy their retelling of your favorite stories and new stories you've never heard before. After a year, Storyworth compiles all their stories into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come. I love this. I love having these kinds of physical items, whether it's a journal or a photo book. I know we can have all this stuff on our phones now or the computer, but it's just not the same. Having something actually tangible is just the best. So give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll all cherish for years, Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/too scary. That's storyworth.com/too scary to save $10 on your first purchase.
Oh my God, this movie is perfect. So now everybody's starting to believe that something's afoot here. They think it's death.
The cop starts doing a little research montage.
Oh my God.
I love a research montage.
It's great.
Who doesn't? And yeah. I guess he's looking through police files because he is seeing crime scene photos with very funny captions.
Oh my God. Yeah, he's looking through basically all the photos from Final Destination 1, all the people who died
all
there.
Of their corpses.
And one of the captions of one of the photos, it's of, you've seen Final Destination 1, a guy gets strangled in the shower by like a, I don't know, something hanging in the shower. And so it's the body in the tub strangled. And the caption is, a nice shot before the coroner arrived.
A nice nice shot.
A nice shot.
A nice shot.
This is a nice shot before the coroner arrived.
A plus.
So yeah, we see he really believes it. He's like looking into all this and thinks there's something bad happening.
And this is where we find out about our dear Devon Sawa.
Okay, great.
Just in a little footnote in an article, his name was Alex in the first one, and we find out he was killed by a falling brick. Ironically, he hadn't left the house in 3 months.
Wait, what?
And that's all we get. That's how he died.
That's all we get.
What?
That's all we get. A falling brick. Inside the house.
Inside the house.
But the other, so the end of final decision went, he and his girlfriend, Clear Rivers, a fantastic name, are the only two survivors. And so Kimberly looks up Clear Rivers.
Her name is Clear Rivers.
First name Clear, last name Rivers.
So people are like, Clear.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, this is played by Allie Larder, and we can just call her Allie Larder, if that's easier for you. Is that easier for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I like Allie Larder, too.
Okay, so Allie Larder.
Imagine it was Clear Larder. Like, you can't have any other name with Clear.
Besides Rivers.
Clear Larder.
You have to be Rivers. You can't be, like, Clear McDonald.
So she has checked herself into a psychiatric institute, and so Kimberly goes to pay her a little visit. Mm-hmm.
And we find out that, you said she's there voluntarily because she is so afraid of death that they make Kimberly, like, take off all of her bracelets and everything. And she's like, oh, she's scared that you're the danger. But Kimberly goes in and gets to talk to her and is saying, I think this is happening again. What happened to you is now happening to me. I had a premonition. And she says, you put all those people on a list and death is going to go by one and kill them in the order they were supposed to die.
Goosebumps.
And she says, oh, but my friends died first and they died last in my premonition. And immediately, without skipping a beat, Claire is like, backwards?
She goes, wait, died first.
Yeah.
Backwards. It's like, what?
And she has her little conspiracy board yarn with like
board.
Yarn pieces of string.
Where, like, I'm just now realizing she lets tacks.
I know there's definitely some dangerous items. String could be dangerous in the right scenario.
String could absolutely be dangerous.
Yeah, I agree. And Kimberly's basically asking her for help. She's saying, and she says, no, hell no. I'm staying here in this padded room with just these strings and tacks.
I'll stay here where I'm safe. But she tells Kimberly, watch out for the signs. That's all I can tell you. If you see anything ominous, it's a sign, and watch out for those signs.
Wow. The staff at that mental hospital is like, thanks for visiting, hon. You really made things better for this gal.
We like have a little moment of checking in with each of our characters at one point, and I just want to point out that the mother and son... The mom's like tucking the son into bed, and he's 15. It seems a little.
Oh, he's 15. Yeah, I mean, no one's thinking it's
a parent-child relationship. Very
bizarre.
And don't love him.
And she says, "And tomorrow it's off to the dentist, which I know you love." Which just lets us know that there's going to be some dental things happening pretty soon here. So brace.
Oh, the collective. Oh.
Brace yourselves.
Yeah, and so when Kimberly gets back to her house, the cop has come to see her. We realized in going over our notes, we don't know anybody's name, so sorry. The cop. He comes to see Kimberly, and he's like, we're going to have a meeting, all the survivors, we're going to have a meeting tonight at my apartment to talk about this. As they're talking, Kimberly sees a bunch of pigeons come down to, like, attack her, and, like, ducks, and is like, oh, the pigeons! And he did see them, and is like, what are you talking about? And she goes, Nora and her son are going to be killed by pigeons. Really inexplicable. It's also very funny that it's like you might see signs, and what she saw was a full, like, crazy vision that no one saw. It's like, yeah, that would be a sign. So yeah, because they're gonna be next on the list, because in her vision, they are the ones who died right before the muscle car guy.
Oh, wow.
I don't know, but they're next, and pigeons are involved.
No. So now we go to the dentist the next day, and as Tim is the son's name, and as he's walking into the dentist, he turns back to his mom and says, if I wake up with my pants unbuttoned...
No, if he turns the gas on and I come out with my pants unbuttoned...
We ain't paying.
What?
Like, he says it in a way also that's like...
Is
it's
the
so
dentist,
crazy.
Like, abusing him?
He says it like a hilarious joke and also kind of like he's flirting with his mom.
I'm telling you!
Hey, Mom, if I wake up and my pants are unbuttoned, I'll turn the other cheek. Yeah.
truly, truly insane.
So he goes into the dentist chair, and we start seeing the little pieces that death is laying. He likes to have fun.
He's really, and it is a man.
Likes it to
and look. He is really having fun with this.
Oh no.
We see the fish tank in the office. One fish is dead, blocking the little pump thing, which is then causing it to spring a leak. Now water is streaming down the wall towards an outlet. It's getting closer and closer. We're nervous of all of this. Inside, the dentist has like a really large syringe.
The biggest needle you've ever seen. He has to be like feet away from his mouth to get this needle in.
He's aiming it at those gums, and right as he's about to do it, a pigeon slams into the window.
Making a big crack, and he goes, "These pigeons, they keep doing this."
This is something that apparently happens all the time.
Yeah, so he decides instead of the syringe, he'll turn on the laughing gas. And what he says to him, the kid, as he turns on the laughing gas is, "You're going to be awake, but you won't be able to move much." Good, 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 good.
We don't like that.
Ooh, and he starts like doing the teeth cleaning.
And he's got his mouth open in that little device that like holds his mouth open, and he's drilling. It's a bad sound.
Did they ever do the shot where it's like from inside the kid's mouth and the dentist is looking into the mouth? Or am I just trying to make this a Disney movie? And it's
yeah, like, kind of. I feel like you're thinking about like Magic School Bus.
Yeah, okay, we don't do that?
We don't do that. Okay. We don't do that. But it is unsettling, for sure.
He's drilling away at his teeth. Well, cleaning them, but the sound is bad. Ooh, I hate that sound. And a pigeon breaks through the glass in the waiting room.
Yep.
And so there's commotion happening out there. He runs out there to go assist.
Yeah, I feel like that's not his job.
Right. He's like, "Oh, be right back, kid." And meanwhile, the mask is still on his face, I guess.
It's on his nose. His mouth is open, the mask is on his nose, and we see the oxygen dial go all the way to zero. So he's now not getting any oxygen for some reason. And the dentist has left. Nobody's watching him, so he's not getting any oxygen. And there's a mobile, again, what? Hanging above his head, and one of the pieces drops, lodges in his throat. So now he's choking. No, he's got his nose on the oxygen, but his mouth is open because the teeth. Because the teeth. And so this thing is in his throat. He's choking. No one's in there.
And he can't move.
To be told to us. Meanwhile, in the lobby, they're all trying to catch this pigeon. His mother catches it with her bare hands. They like scoops it up. Is like, "Here you go," and like takes it. I'm like, I need to know what this woman's deal is. That's a crazy thing to do. Just in the nick of time, the nurse comes into the dentist's room and sees that he's choking, pulls it out. He doesn't choke. He's fine. All is good.
They're all good. They leave the dentist's office, and as they're walking out, Kimberly and the cop arrive, and they're running to be like, "Pigeons, you're going to die for
pigeons."
They
go, "Pigeons, the pigeons!"
And sure enough, there is a flock of pigeons still like on the ground in front of them, and some construction workers, and as they yell, "Pigeons," Tim, the kid, is like, thinks that means like, "Go run and play with the pigeons."
He goes like, "Oh my god, pigeons!"
And as if he's like 4 years old, like runs into this flock of pigeons and is like, "Ha!" And some switch is flipped by one of the construction workers.
They're doing construction outside.
And a pane of glass is right above him, drops, and just absolutely pancakes him.
Like an absolute splat. Like a full, like a true, he becomes dust.
A pane of glass from where?
Like a truck was like carrying it above, and it just goes like, boom.
I was really hoping the pigeons were gonna actually do the killing.
Oh, the pigeon! Oh, yeah, like peck him to death, bird style.
Wait. I was just really curious, on the edge of my seat, about how that was gonna work.
I know.
So, is he okay?
I'm gonna get ahead of it and tell you. No one's okay.
But so the pigeons didn't do anything.
Pigeons essentially didn't do anything.
So he didn't die from pigeons, which is why I asked if he was okay, because I thought maybe he got smushed like glass or no glass in my hair, and then the pigeons were like, "We like glass." And they came out.
Exactly.
But they're not involved at all.
They're not involved.
All of these, death is tricky and having some fun. And so they are related.
Oh, God.
Certainly so running towards the pigeons.
We're really going to have to be on our toes here.
I know.
Absolutely.
We think we know what's going to happen, but we're not sure what's going to happen.
You simply don't know.
Oh, and then they come and they take him in a body bag, and it's just like soup.
It's like, well, what did they put in that bag? Truly, what did did they put in that bag?
Soup. We knew soup was going to come up somehow.
It's a bag of soup. No, there's no way. There would be nothing to put. There would be nothing to put. No.
Do you use a body bag if it's just soup? Probably not. I don't think so.
I don't think that they would. And let's break that down.
What's the point? You would use Tupperware or something.
Yeah, Tupperware.
Because you still have to get them back to the headquarters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you can't leave it there.
Right. Yeah, the headquarters needs it. Then they decide, and already I'm like, oh my God, we gotta get through this movie. They go to see Allie Larder.
Clear Rivers.
Meets up with Kimberly and the cop. She's like, okay, I'm gonna help you because this is serious now. People keep dying, so I'm gonna help you. They go to see her old friend Tony Todd again. I don't remember his character name or if he even has one. We're gonna call him Tony Todd. And he's really weird and creepy, and basically he like his owns a crematorium, the same thing.
Yeah, and Evan's body is there, and he yanks out his nipple ring in front of them, like he's like enjoying it. He's like,
yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly what he's like. And he tells them the only way to interrupt Death's plan is to bring a new life. Like new life would force Death's plan list to start anew, and they're like, okay, we get it. So that's their plan. They somehow have to find a way to bring new life.
I know. In this moment, I'm like, they're going to have to fuck?
And honestly, I feel like they wanted to. They should have used that as an excuse.
Yeah.
Guess we have to. No choice. But they realize, oh my God, there was a pregnant woman at the crash. If she was going to die in the crash and wasn't ever going to have that baby, that's the new life. We have to make sure the pregnant lady has her baby, and that way we will interrupt Death's list.
Yep.
And while she's realizing this, Kimberly has a vision, which I feel like you need to talk about because you love this part.
It really tickled me. She has a vision of being in the driver's seat of a van that's crashing into a lake. And for some reason, the cop is like, a lake? You're sure it was a lake? And she says, I can practically taste the water in my mouth. Which, like, doesn't your mouth always taste like water? Water doesn't really have a taste.
I can practically taste the water.
I couldn't pay attention to the like rest of the movie for a bit. I was like, I have to take a break. I'm like, I can practically taste the water in
there. Especially lake water, you know, it's not salty.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Loved it. Great line.
So the cop puts out an APB on the van of the pregnant lady. He's like, I can do that, I'm a cop, I'm gonna abuse my power. And so that we're gonna try to take care of that. And meanwhile, the rest of the survivors have a meeting at the cop's house because they're now believing that something's fucked up, a bunch of people have died. The woman watched her son die. And as we're watching our characters all make their way up to the cop's apartment, we notice that the elevator bumpers that, you know, keep it from shutting on you, why did I mention that, don't work. They don't work so well. Huh, like a guy's foot gets stuck in it and it, like, they won't open it. It's like yank his shoe out.
I see.
Don't worry about it. So in this meeting, Kimberly hands out little cell phones to everybody, and they're like, hey, here's the deal. Death is coming for you, but you can look out for the signs, like when I saw a bunch of pigeons, and just keep an eye on that, and we're going to call each other if we see signs to keep Death from getting us.
Death, it's coming from us all. But for a family plan with T-Mobile, stay safe. Stay together.
She's been heavily endorsed by T-Mobile.
Meanwhile, the pregnant lady, they have... arrested her?
Arrested her. They had made up a story about her van was listed as stolen, and they're keeping a pregnant lady in holding.
How pregnant? Like 9 months pregnant? Like about to have a baby?
Okay, no, very pregnant.
Okay.
And so they're having a meeting. Some of the people don't stay. They still don't believe it. They're like, this is crazy. Death isn't coming for us. As they're talking, for whatever reason, a pool ball rolls on the floor, hits a rat trap that this cop had in the middle of his floor. It sets it off, causes a pool ball to fly in the air, hit a rope that was tying up a kayak on his ceiling. The kayak falls, swings over them, breaks a window. They're all fine, but Clear grabs a kayak and she goes, should have seen that coming. In what universe do you predict that?
And they all seem like they're gonna stay in the same place, like we need to keep an eye on each other, but real quick they're all like, you know what, I'm gonna go.
Yeah, well, because Eugene the motorcycle guy and Nora are like, he doesn't believe it, and she's like, I have to plan my son's funeral if Death is coming
to
me.
Yeah, she says, if you'll excuse me, I have a funeral to plan.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's sad.
It's sad. That's sad.
It is sad.
It is sad. This movie is about people dying, so that is sad.
Oh, that's right. But almost also, exclusively.
Like, do we feel like death, this movie could also be interpreted as, like, death doing a wacky bad job. Like, it's almost like the president of death died, and now, like, his son's in charge. It's like, man, I'm no good at this. I sent the pool cue and the ping pong and the kayak, and it didn't work. It's like, dude, just give them all heart disease. Like, or something. There's so many other things you could do.
I really think, like...
Stop with the hijinks, man.
I think death loves the hijinks. I think death is like, look, I don't have much fun, you know? And this one, they should have died in a car crash. Boring. Even though, pretty crazy car crash. And now death is just trying to really have some fun with it.
Some people be dying from aneurysms in their sleep. And I'm just saying it could be really quick and you could do it. Could all happen at once.
Yeah. But then, like, what do you do with the rest of your year, you know?
So many other billions of people in the world.
Hey, we got notes. So Nora and Eugene leave. They're not going to stay in the apartment. They get into the elevator with the only other man in the elevator is a very, very freaky looking man with a box full of mannequin arms and hooks.
And one of the guys that we haven't mentioned too much, the guy that was doing cocaine in his car in the opening
scene. I remember him.
Yeah. He, in the apartment, sees shadows... form the shape of a guy with hooks. Mm-hmm. He's like, I think I see a guy with hooks. And they call Nora to tell her she's going to die by a man with hooks. And she answers her phone.
Her new phone that they just gave her exclusively for this purpose.
And they're like, Nora! And she goes, who is this?
Nobody else has this number, Nora!
This is literally 2 minutes ago, Nora.
Yeah, so they tell her she's a guy with hooks is gonna kill her. She sees the man with hooks behind her, freaks out, tries to get out of the elevator, and wouldn't you know it, her head gets stuck.
Wait, well, what?
Her braid gets caught on one of the hooks, and she tries to leave the elevator, and the elevator closes. Well, I guess we learned that the bumper thing is not there, so it closes so fast.
Like on her head.
Neck.
On her neck.
On her neck.
Oh, God.
So body out, neck.
Head body out, neck in.
And guess what? The elevator is moving down.
No! No, I saw a YouTube video once where a guy was walking his dog and his leash got caught and then he started moving like that. Oh, guys, and it would be so much worse with your neck and head.
Kind of the worst place for that to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we don't really... She gets decapitated.
Okay, you can guess.
It happens slowly, but off goes the head. And Eugene, who didn't really buy it, is now on board because he just saw the worst possible thing happen and runs back into the apartment, steals the cop's gun, tries to shoot himself because he's like, I'm in control of my own destiny.
Six times.
And it won't work?
And it won't work.
Okay, this is what I'm saying about death being bad at the job.
And honestly, here I agree because it's like, he gave it to you.
Right.
Yeah. But the list is important and so they come in there like, it's not the right order.
It's not the right order.
Wasn't his time.
Oh, that's actually really scary.
That's really scary.
So we then see back in the police station, the pregnant lady's water breaks. She goes into labor and convinces the cop that has been assigned to watch her to take her to the hospital, which, like, crazy that he needs convincing. He, like, doesn't want to at first. He's like, oh, I don't know, you're supposed to stay here. She's screaming at him. So they leave. And the rest of the people that were in the cop's house, why do they leave? They like...
I don't know. I know they're driving somewhere. I don't know where they're driving, but they get in a car together.
They must be trying to like go to the pregnant lady.
Because they believe that if they can keep the pregnant lady alive, which like we've got her in a cell, she's going to be fine. She's not going to die, so now we are safe to go do whatever we want. I don't know. They're going somewhere. And there's other people we didn't mention. There's a workaholic lady. And so they're all in the car together, and they're all realizing as they talk, as they drive, each one of them in the car has had a near-death experience in the past year, and they only didn't die because of someone who died. Wait, how do I say this?
Okay, no, this is where it gets a little...
So the death of somebody from Flight 180...
Saved their life. Like, one of them was on a bus that was supposed to take them to a hotel that caught fire and everyone died, but they never made it there because their bus hit a person that who, died in the first movie
too. Because they got off Flight 180. Ah!
So death, it's had like this ripple effect, and Clear is like, that's why he's moving backwards.
Which I'm still like, what?
Yeah, I don't know, I guess.
But death is so many tying rules. Up loose ends.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think he's bored. I think he's just bored.
I think he's honestly really
doing it for a long time, and he's like, I want to spice up my life a little bit, and this is how I'm going
to
do it.
Just switch the order. Reverse the order. I don't know. It's kind of fun to reverse it sometimes.
He's like, bop it. Twist it.
So, they're driving, and they get in a big car crash again, and they crash into a farm.
Yep. And a father and son stop to help them. And the cocaine guy, there's like a car that drives
by. A news van comes up because it's like, oh my God, a car crash.
Yeah. And it almost hits the new little kid. Well, he's not little.
But like he's getting like 15.
Probably 15. And cocaine guy grabs him and pulls him out of the way.
And in this crash, nobody died in their car, but Eugene is injured. So he gets taken off in an ambulance to the hospital. And a pole goes right through the back of the driver's seat, but it didn't get her. Her head was like off to the side. But she looks and is like, holy
this
shit,
business
a,
lady
with a
that
jagged,
was
sharp edge.
Like, okay, so sometimes people are okay.
So, well,
we'll see. Sometimes they are. See, that's why you gotta check.
So, but she has also been, she can't get out of her seat because a lot of logs in this movie, went through her seat. It's like pinned her in her chair. So she can't get out of the car, but the rest of them get out. And so somebody has to come and try to cut her out of the car. By the way, when this news van pulls up, we see that it has started spilling oil. The news van is spilling
all right.
oil.
All right.
But then, so some firefighters come up and they, this is where death is really, I think, at this point, getting a little tired. Death
he's like,
slash
all right.
the filmmakers, and they're like, okay, we need to kill like 8 more people right now. so firefighters go to start cutting her out of the car. She's smoking a cigarette. This lady, she works hard. She's just like, whatever.
Chain smoking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's been chain smoking the whole movie. It's very funny to hear the reactions of people like, oh God.
Well, we knew as soon as you said there's a workaholic woman.
We hate her.
Hollywood tells us
stay
that women that prioritize work over family, you're gonna die.
The pregnant woman, though, she'll be okay.
The firefighters go to cut her out, and they've got a chainsaw, which, like, I hate to see. But they go to cut her out of the car and push the car in a way that
they cut her.
Slam it into there.
They don't cut her. They slam the car so hard that it sets off the airbag, which slams her head back into the pole. And is immediately impaled, like dead instantly. Think about that firefighter. Oh my God, that man is traumatized. That is a bad day on the job.
Yeah.
So she gets impaled, but she was smoking a cigarette, and when she dies, her hand drops.
Ignites the oil.
There you got it.
Oh.
Ignites the oil, which goes on a little line fire all the way to the news van, which explodes.
No.
And it's parked next to a barbed wire fence.
and a barn full of hay.
And in the explosion, the fence comes loose. The barbed wire flies, two tiers, as they normally are, a barbed wire fence flies through the air, goes straight through our cocaine guy, slices him in thirds, hamburger style. And we watch him stand there, and then his body parts go,
just slip slide off of each other. Oh my God.
So we just really make quick work of it there. And they are both dead.
So now Eugene is being taken to the hospital in an ambulance, and it's just the cop and Kim.
And Allie Larder.
And Clear. Allie Larder, excuse me, sorry. Racing to the hospital now to, A, make sure Eugene's okay,
and
B,
the kids in the woman's in labor.
Make sure
from
that
the
baby
other cop.
Gets born. And we see Eugene in his hospital room. His lung has been punctured, did we say that?
Yes, we didn't say it, but we just... did now.
So he's on a little breathing machine, and we see, again, death is getting impatient. Now it's just like things are just getting unplugged. They're just flying out.
Yeah, he's sort of like, like there's no real life thing starts this. He's just sort of
like, okay, just unplug it. Just starts rolling away and shuts down. And we see his, I mean, he can't really move. His eyes are big. He's scared.
Can't breathe.
But we see in the other room, baby being born. It's a little stressful at first, but the baby ends up okay. And Kimberly and the cop, like, bust into the delivery room. And everyone's like, who the fuck are you? They're like, is the baby okay?
And the baby is. And we see in the other room, Eugene's oxygen comes back up. He's breathing again.
Backup battery.
A backup battery.
It's over.
It's over? It's over. And Kimberly and the cop, they hug. They're like, oh my God, we did it. Clear comes out and finds them. And they're like, we did it. The baby was born. And then...
No. What?
Kimberly has another vision. She like sort of goes like, you remember that So Raven?
Yeah.
It's like that. It's like that. The little like, you know? And she sees, she flashes back to the car wreck and sees that in the original wreck that she avoided from happening, the pregnant lady never died. So this is not the new life that we were waiting for.
Not.
As she realizes this, Clear goes, I gotta go check on Eugene. Runs to his room where when the oxygen went out, like a tube came loose, so oxygen was flying into the
air. Something flammable
went in the air. Yep. And again, plugs have been unplugged. Things are weird in there.
There's no nurses or doctors.
No. Not at all. And Clear opens the door to check on Eugene, which like pulls the cord all the way.
I don't know how it happens. It's almost as if there's like a match on the bottom of the door, like a light.
And the room explodes, and Clear kills and Eugene both die at once.
What?
Clear, our like only character in the first movie, just
Allie
gets
Larder. She didn't want to do more movies.
I guess not.
Why not?
I guess not. She gets super exploded real fast. They're just anyway.
Wait, I'm so sad for her. Also, like, as the actress, she, like, sat down with the director, and she was like, ooh, so, like, how do I die in this one? He was like, you open a door.
Honestly, like, who did Allie Larder piss off on the creative team? Because it does sort of feel like that must have been what happened.
But after this, Kimberly, her hands are cut up now, and in her vision, she had been seeing cut up hands, and she's like, oh, the person is me, which, like, wouldn't you recognize your own hands? Kind of regardless of
I absolutely would recognize my own hands, but it's because I really have issues with my own hands. Don't look at them.
sorry.
In the drowning van, she has, like, seen hands on the steering wheel, and right. In the explosion, things cut her hands, and she goes, it's me, I'm the one who drowns. So she goes, the only way to defeat death is new life. I have to die. And again, I'm like, what's this?
They're really making a lot of logical leaps.
I don't get
here.
The through just line here, but that also, though, was the answer in the first one. I feel like where he's like, I have to kill myself and come back to life. And it's like, oh, okay, so it's the same.
They're just really, quite the dice.
So she decides she's going to have to try to kill herself and come back to life.
Wait, what is this plan? What do you mean?
She's going to get in a... Well, the plan is, and she does it.
I think it's because she's not supposed to be next, so she would be breaking the order, and then that, like...
Okay, and now here's my question, though.
And then Death is like, well,
exactly.
Fuck it,
what about the guy with the gun? I thought about this. I was like, wait, why didn't that work then?
Oh. Like, she's not going to be able to kill herself.
Yeah, because if the guy tried to shoot himself...
Oh, we found a hole. This movie sucks.
We found a hole. But just, you know, just forget about it.
Okay.
It works perfect. It's the plan. Maybe because she's the one with the visions. She's special.
Okay.
I don't know. She decides she has to try to drown and come back to life.
I just don't understand the come back to life part.
She's at a hospital.
So she's going to... She
just wants to die for just a second. She wants heart to stop beating, and then she's like, you guys be on standby to pump
like
it up.
Like someone's going
to...
She's like yelling to the cop, like, get the doctor.
Okay, got it.
As she's driving the ambulance into the lake, she does. She
drives straight into the lake.
She drowns so peacefully. I noticed she just kind of goes like...
And it doesn't look painful or difficult at all.
Like, I'm like, you'd be like...
Like, it would be really deeply unpleasant, but I think she just sort of takes a nap, and she also tells the cop, go get the doctor, and instead he jumps in the water as if he has never jumped in water before.
He runs
off the dock and goes, like a spider monkey, like he's like not, but he jumps in the water after her. But then we see, you know, she dies, everything goes black, but then we see that like shot of like her eyes opening, and the jolt, and she's like, and then the heartbeat comes back, she's alive, the cop is there, he's like, you did it,
Oh, and they're in love.
Kind of in love. And he's like,
"Oh, doesn't she like give him a little kiss on the cheek before
the cheek. Yeah, it's weird. She kisses him on the cheek and goes, "Get the doctor."
Oh my god.
Okay.
And that's what I say to every man before I sleep with him.
And now that is a horror movie. But yeah, so she comes to, and the cop is there, and he's like, "You did it. We beat death." And as they're saying this to each other, and I didn't even realize that, I guess the tone of the movie, color tone, has been really like cool and blue, because then it turns warm, and oh my god, we've come back to life, and like happy music starts playing, and mm-hmm. and we did it.
And that's it.
And we flash forward. Them having a barbecue with the father and son who saved them earlier, which is just
at the farm where their other friends died.
And they kept in touch.
They kept in touch at this place where some of the most horrifying things I've ever seen happened. And I guess, yeah, we flash forward a little bit, but the farmer asks Kimberly, he's like, "So, Kimberly, how are you?" And she's like, "Had a pretty good summer."
What? Wait, how forward are we?
It seems like it can't possibly be that much, but they're good now, not traumatized. She and the cop are there, and Kimberly's dad, and they're all sitting there having a nice little barbecue, and the cop goes to eat a skewer. And do you know
what right? And it's like,
he sticks it right in his mouth.
He's like eating
point
it like
first.
Yeah, a bit reminiscent of a certain log.
Yeah, and he go, and someone says like, "Oh, careful there, buddy." And he goes, "Oh, I think I've had closer calls." Just like, we're joking about it. We feel good. And the farmer goes, "Oh, speaking of close calls." And the kid's like, yeah, tell him.
And the mom is like, "Billy, you better go check on that.
Go check on the barbecue." And the kid goes, or the farmer says, "Yeah, Billy, the day that crash happened, Billy almost got hit by the news van, but your friend, the one who died moments later, saved him from it." And they were like, and in this moment, Kimberly and the cop lock eyes, and they're like, oh my God. And the barbecue explodes. And the kid's only remnant we get is his arm from about here down, flies through the air, lands right on his mother's plate.
What? Wait, what?
She starts screaming.
Wait, before that, did she say, "Will you give me a hand with dinner?"
Yes, she did.
Did she actually say that before he went to the barbecue? Because you said something like that. She sent him off like, "Will you
get..."
Imagine if she did.
Exact. Hopefully.
Yeah, this movie is becoming a comedy, like a dark comedy.
Yeah, I mean, this movie is hilarious. so that her child's arm is on her plate, and she starts screaming, and that's it.
Roll credits?
Roll credits. Movie's over.
Holy shit. Wow. You guys fucking knocked it out of the park, I gotta say. You really did.
Yeah, how do we feel? Do we feel good?
No, we don't feel good!
Okay, we have to say, of any of the deaths, which death do we want? Do we prefer?
Which do you prefer? Not want. We don't want any of them.
I was thinking about the whole time. I feel like the glass with the pigeons.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. Because the way that you said he turned to dust.
Oh my God. He felt nothing. And if anything, I would pick that too, because I think in the moments before, he was really happy.
Dancing with the pigeons.
And before he was choking on a piece of plastic in the dentist's office.
That's true, but you should have seen his face when he ran towards those pigeons. He was so excited.
Yeah, I think that kid had it the best.
I'll take getting sliced in three by that barbed wire.
That also probably wasn't too bad. Yeah, it was pretty quick.
It seemed quick.
Sliced in three,
and no buildup to
the
it.
The last
no
thing
choking
is everyone sees
it.
Your body just like go like.
No, Henley, it was
shoop.
A real even slide. Lisa, yeah. Favorite death?
I don't have a favorite, but I guess I'll do the old fashioned barbecue blow up.
that's a pretty soft.
It feels quick.
It's quick, and also, as you mentioned, a little funny.
A little bit. But I implore you to rewatch the ending again and see if she says, "Give me ham dinner," because I wouldn't put it past this movie for her to have said that.
Yeah, if they didn't, it's a misstep.
I was going to say, I actually think they didn't because the writing is so bad, and I wish they would have. But guess what? You're in luck. There's a final destination. Three, four, five, six.
And we're covering them all right now. So grab some water.
Stay tuned. Honestly, what could be better than a villain that is death? And he's having a lot of fun. And
loved it.
I did do my second watch of this on the plane, and it felt really cruel to subject the people around me to that movie.
Well, you were sitting next to a one-year-old.
I was sitting next to a baby. No, it's okay. It's okay. They can't make memories. And I, when the really bad things happen, I was like taking out my phone, and I would just put my phone in front of the screen and be like, we can't see what's happening. Honestly, I really had a delightful time. It's fun.
You did great. You're so brave.
Thank you so much.
Incredible stuff.
Thank you so much. We did it. Thank
you for having me. Thank you for telling me about that movie. God.
Thank you for being here. I hope it doesn't give you nightmares. Do you think it will?
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. Once again, we are Too Scary Didn't Watch. We're on HeadGum. You can find us wherever you find your podcasts. I think that's all we gotta say. Thank you to Jasper Lass for having us. This was really great.
Thank you, everybody, for coming.
Thank you. And
get home safe.
Get home safe.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch. If you like the show, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and give us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can follow us on social media at TSDW Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. And if one episode a week just is not enough for you, head on over to patreon.com/TSDW Podcast to become a patron and receive all sorts of extra goodies from us, including bonus episodes, trailer reactions, and more. And no matter what, we will see you right here next week for another episode. We love you so much. Bye.
That was a HeadGum podcast.